All right. Well, I guess the encouragement is over, and our time of waiting carries on. So before I get into the message, I just wanted to say, isn't it awesome to have a worship team that doesn't just cherish creating a good feeling? They value truth. Like that's what was happening for me this morning. It's just we're declaring truth, and they are like thoughtful in the songs we sing and the lyrics they choose to lead us in, and it's awesome. And before I preach, I will ask you guys here, and obviously those down the hall won't hear this, but that's okay. Telsey and I leave a week from today to go to Bosnia and be with Jenny and Dotto. And I just have this sense that God has more in mind for our trip than that we just have a nice time. We're going to have, you know, opportunity just to hopefully encourage Jenny and Dotto, invest there. We're going to have opportunity to preach in churches there and that fun stuff. And I'm just asking you guys, as you feel led and instructed of the Lord, to be praying for us. That you'd be praying that there would be breakthrough through walls, through darkness, that light would shine, that God would be glorified, that people's lives would be changed, that hearts would be transformed. So can you guys, you know, whatever, you don't have to put your hand up. I'm just asking if you would agree with us for God to make use of our time beyond just us having a nice time. I'm believing for that. I believe he has purpose in sending us. Amen? So pray for us, for Jenny Dotto, for the Church of Bosnia, for the nation, all of that. Well, it's almost 11:15, so I'm going to stop waiting. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that today, as I share what you have put in my heart, God, that your word would go forth. That more than just my thoughts and opinions would be resounding in this room. But that your eternal, powerful, active word would go forth in this room. And that it would accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it. I ask that you would develop and stir faith in the hearts of those who hear today. God, I ask that you would meet the needs that are present. God, whether it be needing healing in a body, whether it be needing joy where depression has been ruling, God, whether it be needing peace where anxiety has taken hold, whatever the need may be, we believe that your word has the power and the ability and the capacity to meet that need. So we ask that you would speak today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, how many of you were here? My dad, I wasn't in here, but I tried to listen to the messages, and I listened to it this week, and I would summarize saying, you know, he was talking about how God's kingdom is to be applied through building our lives on what the Word of God says in every area of life. And I don't know if you'd agree. I don't know if my dad would agree with that summary. We'll have to find out. But essentially, you know, it's building our lives on the Word. And I just had, I think he even referenced this scripture, but I just really wanted to kind of carry on that thought. And so the scripture we're going to start in today and work around this morning is Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. And Jesus says this. This is at the end of the famous Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fail, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Now, I even want to say before I get into this that I just found it so interesting, the songs we sang today, the words that were released near the tail end of worship, what my dad was saying, what all these different people were sharing. I mean, honestly, some of the songs we did today, they're just like a sermon in themselves. Like, I'm just like, oh man, we could preach on that. Or maybe we should talk, you know, and it's just like loaded with this truth. And anyway, I just feel like, yeah, what was shared on the tail end, it's like it kind of like, oh, well, that's confirming. That's what I'm preaching today. So anyway, I'm just believing that God is wanting us to hear this, see this, catch this right now. So I believe that there are those of you here today, this is very much for you in season. And, you know, I would say this, when Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I kind of want to stretch a bigger perspective of what these sayings of his are. First off, like, it's not, yes, it's the Sermon on the Mount that he just finished preaching, but do you agree with me that the entire counsel of God in the Bible are the sayings of Jesus? That it's his word? And so when we're looking at this and we're saying that he who hears these sayings and does them, we're talking about hearing and living and building according to the whole counsel of God in Scripture, because it all belongs to Jesus. When he says these sayings of mine, I believe that Jesus has every right to lay claim on the entire Bible. It's his. They are his sayings. Okay? And so I just want to try to work through this, okay? First question I have is based on this thing that he says that he who hears these sayings and does them is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock, right? And my question is, what is a house? What does a house provide? Shelter, warmth, rest, comfort, safety, refuge. The basis of your life. These are all right on. This is the thought that's going through my mind as I look at this metaphor. So A+. So this house, it's this place of shelter, right? Of comfort, of security. It's where you operate from. It's your center point. It's your home base, whatever you want to call it, right? And even before we go in any further, I want to say, like, it's one of these basic needs for survival, right? Like, we need oxygen, food, water, clothing, shelter. Those are kind of the basic things. So Jesus is talking here about what you need to simply survive. And when we look further, it's like, what does the rock represent? I believe it represents truth. And what's sand? Sand is like particles of rock. It's pieces of truth. It's a little this, a little that, but it's not formed into something solid. And so it's parts of truth. And we're called to build our life on a solid truth. And I would say this, that it talks about the guy, the wise guy, being one who hears the word and does it. Now I would say this, that we could easily say that to be a hearer and a doer of the word could be called a believer. Because see, you don't do the word just because you heard it and now within your own strength and your own power, you're going about doing it. You do the word because you believe it, because you believe God is who he said he is, who he has revealed through the word. It's faith that actually plugs you in to the source of grace that enables you to do the word. And I was thinking about this, like, okay, so the guy who hears the word and does it is like a guy who has built his house on a rock, and when the storm comes, it doesn't fall. And the guy who hears it and doesn't do it is like the guy who builds on the sand, the storm comes, house falls. And it struck me that it says that he who hears the word and does it, Jesus says, I will liken him to, let's read it, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Or if you look at it in Luke, he says, who had built his house on a rock. And so my point is that the one who's doing the sayings of Jesus is one whose house is already built on the rock. And I believe having this house built on the rock, again, comes back to this thing of believing who God reveals himself to be in the Word. What he says is true. In other words, the foundation that we stand on is what dictates what we do. What we believe manifests in what we do. You guys tracking with me on that? So this house, this place of comfort, this place of security, this shelter, where is it built? Where do you find comfort and security? North Sandwich, someone says. Let's go a little deeper. Where in your heart, in your soul, do you find comfort and security? Where is the foundation laid for your house? You see, we can be in a place where we seek our comfort in food, in shopping, in sex, in entertainment, in our sense of significance, in our career, or in our idea of people's opinions about us. Where do you find your security? Is it in the state of your finances? What type of insurance policies do you have? The strength of the economy, the strength of our military and its allies. And its allies, I said. And it's like, do we find it in those things, or do we find comfort in knowing God? In believing that we are actually going to be raised from the dead and live for eternity with God, the most fun, creative, beautiful, awe-inspiring thing in the universe. Forever. Do we find our security in knowing that He is loving, that He is sovereign, that He is strong, that He is wise, and ultimately that He is good? Where do we find that security? And I want to say, I want to give a little disclaimer here, that those gifts, food, drink, sex, entertainment, even a sense of significance, are not bad things. They're good things. They're gifts from God. But the problem is when we begin to see those things as the source of the comfort, of the fulfillment, of the or the money and the job and the economy as the source of security. When we begin to see them as the source, it's like my dad quickly referenced earlier, that's when they become an idol. But we are actually able to enjoy these things unto the glory of God when we recognize that He's the source of the comfort and the security that we walk in. And He allows us, He blesses us with these gifts, and we can eat and drink unto the glory of God, is what the Bible teaches. We can work unto the glory of God. On and on it goes. So those things, I just want to say, I don't want to paint an accurate picture. Those things are good things in their rightful place.
in our life. But God ultimately is the source of comfort and security. He's our shelter. He's our refuge, right? So that question again is, you know, where's your house built? What's it built upon? Where do you seek comfort? Where do you seek security? So how do we build upon the rock? I want to just take a second to look at the account in Luke of this same teaching. I'm going to read it as well. Jesus is recorded here saying it this way: "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." I want to point out that phrase that Jesus has plugged in there. How did the guy build on the rock? He dug deep. He dug deep. So we will eventually get practical here. We're still talking in metaphor, but it's like, how do we dig deep? What does digging deep look like? And I'm going to tell you what I've discovered in my life. It's reading the Word. It's meditating on the Word. It's praying from that place of what the Word is showing me. It's worship. It's choosing to serve and love others even when it's not fun, even when it's hard, even when they don't appreciate it. It's learning to just hold course, persevere. But the real practical things that I know work in my life for me to dig deep, to lay hold of truth that I can stand on in any storm, is reading the Word, meditating upon it, praying and worshiping, and writing and different things like that. And I want to point something out here, that when you read these stories, what really jumps out at me is that whether you're the wise man and you've built your house on the rock, or whether you're the fool who built on the sand, the storm hits. I want to bust the false idea that if you will, you know, build your life on the Word of God, everything will be perfect. Everything that's messed up in your life right now is because you're not in line with the Word of God. Like, is this thing works or is it grace? That's another sermon. But thing I want to look at, Jesus says God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And that means rain of blessing and goodness falls on the just and the unjust. God doesn't withhold. We all walk in a thing that some refer to as common grace, that it's out there. The sun shines, the rain falls, the food grows, the sun comes up, I already said that, the clothes are on the back, the families have, all this good happens to the just and the unjust alike. Well, I would like to say that this story would also merit to say, all the crap happens to the just and the unjust. The crap happens to the wise and the foolish. The question is when the storm hits, do you stand or do you fall? And how is it that you stand? It's if your foundation is laid on truth. It's been built upon the rock. You dug deep and you got to where there was something solid that you could stand on. And I tell you this, when the storm hits, it's too late to start digging. Like, I'm not saying there's nothing you can do in that moment to know well, but I'm just saying that if you'll dig when there's no storm, you'll get a lot deeper and you'll find firmer ground and you'll be ready for when the storm hits. So I want to go back to how do we dig and how do we build on the foundation? And in talking about that, I've already said pray, meditate, read the word, worship, etc. I just want to tell you a story from a couple weeks ago. It was actually Mother's Day. And on Mother's Day, around midnight, I met God in the toilet. Somewhere near the toilet. My head was hanging into the toilet, so you'd understand probably what was going on. I hope. I don't usually hang my head in the toilet. It's only when I feel really sick. So what happened was, I don't know how it happened, but I was sick. Like, we had a great day. I had dinner at my parents' house that evening with my mom and sister and all of us together. And then, you know, we got home and Telsey and I both were just not feeling good. And I ended up, like, you know, you're shivering, you're nauseous, you're weak, you're aching, all that good stuff, horrible stuff. And I was there, like, by the toilet, just like, you know, that whole thing, like, just a mess, and feeling like I'm going to throw up, and totally wrecked. And I was just reminded of this story I heard Bill Johnson tell, where he was super sick maybe a year and a bit ago, and he talked about how, you know, all he did was, as he laid in this hospital bed, was just confess that God is good. And I remember just being hit in that moment with, you know, like, I feel horrible right now. It doesn't change that I know God is good. And this thing started to happen. I was there, like in from this place of moaning, and I started singing like new songs. Just making songs up about his goodness, about his sovereignty, about his undefeatable nature, that his purposes will not be stopped and not be thwarted, and that regardless of what's going on, I know I'm loved, and regardless of what trial I'm in, I know he's with me. And that right there, as I kneel at the toilet, moaning and groaning and feeling like I'm going to throw up, he is with me. And something just was like deepening. It was like, okay, this is what digging looks like. You know, like I am digging deeper right now into what I know to be true in the middle of this horrible feeling. And whether I am healed or whether I barf or whatever goes on, God is good. God is with me. God is sovereign. God will not be defeated. If I die, God is not defeated. He's not like, oh no, what happened? You know, like, what? How did this come to be? It's right. I met him in the throne room. I agree. So honestly, I just had this encounter with God at the toilet. And I was laughing, and I was crying, and I was like, and I was just like, I was stepping back and picturing myself and be like, man, this looks ridiculous. Like imagine somebody walks in and this guy who's ready to throw up is singing and laughing and crying at the toilet. And I just got hit with this moment. In this moment, I got hit with this thought. I am either like mentally ill, or there's a supernatural grace on my life. One or the other. Bit of both, sure. But you know what I'm saying? It's like if you walked in and saw that and you have no grid for having a foundation built on the truth of who God is, you'd be like, what is going on with this person? And I just got hit in that moment. It's like, this grace is real. This truth is stronger than any storm. I'll just share one more. I find it interesting. I hope you do too. Last Wednesday, we started tearing off this huge... I have a roofing company, if you don't know. We have this big, huge commercial job, and we had like 2,000 square feet of the roof opened up. No rain in the forecast, and it starts raining. And on this type of roof, there's really nothing you can do at that point. You're at the mercy of what the weather's going to do. And, you know, I'm envisioning tens of thousands of dollars, losses, and things like that. And I just got hit with, you know, what am I going to do? God's still good. I just started like singing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," as the rain came down. And again, I had this moment. I'm either crazy or there's a truth here that's bigger than circumstance. Luckily, the rains never got crazy. We didn't go tens of thousands of dollars in debt. And you know, end of the story of at the toilet, I felt better. I was at the toilet because I'd been hours in bed, unable to fall asleep. I felt better. And then I ended up going and writing because all this stuff was like, I'm like, I got to write this down. And I went to bed feeling totally fine. And you know, this thing just hits me that it's like, God, I believe, takes us through situations that require us to dig. I believe that. He takes us through situations where he wants to convince us of his presence with us, his never leaving, never forsaking. And I got these different scriptures that for me, I just lay hold of in those moments, in those times. And I just want to share them with you. I hope it's practical for you like it is for me. And one of them is this. It's in Isaiah 43, and it's the first 2.5 verses, and it says, "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob," or put your name in there if you like, "and he who formed you, O whoever you are. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And for me, it hits me. It's like the presence of God in my life is not a promise or a guarantee that I won't go through floods and walk through fire. The promise of God is that when I go through floods and when I walk through fire, He's with me. Or I think of Genesis 50:20, where Joseph, I don't have time to go into the story, I hope you have some grid for it, but Joseph says to his brothers who are there before him, who previously, like many years past, threw him into slavery, sold him off to these slave traders who took him to Egypt. He was a slave in a guy's house, falsely accused, ended up in prison for years. I mean, things didn't go well for Joseph. And at the end of this, Joseph ends up from prison, becoming like governor over Egypt, and God promotes him into this amazing thing, and God uses him to save the world. You know, like there, people were going to die of famine, but because of the revelation and the wisdom that God gave Joseph, many lives were saved. And Joseph says to his brothers, "What you had intended for evil all those years ago, God intended for good." And I don't know about you, but what that scripture does for me is it points something out. It says, what was intended for evil? God didn't just find a way to bring good out of it. God actually had a purpose in it before it ever happened. What you intended for evil, God intended for good. Now, I don't know how that sits in your filing cabinet, in your head, and what you believe to be true, but for me, it's super encouraging. Because I find myself in crappy situations, and I know there's other people who have found themselves in far worse. And having this thing that I hold on to, that there is a good purpose at work in this situation, that supersedes, that is above and before this ever happened and will not be thwarted, is a foundation that I stand on. It says in our favorite quoted verse, maybe, right? Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who are loved and called according to God's purpose. It doesn't say, in the midst of all things, God finds a way to bring good. It says, all things work together for good to those who are loved and called according to God's purpose. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. I stand on that. And so my encouragement to you is that so you dig deep and get your house, your place of comfort, your place of security, your refuge, your shelter, your place of operation for the rest of life, that you would get it built on a strong foundation. I tell you what, like, these tough times, they are when beautiful things are created. Who did you ever hear say, you know, oh yeah, I learned this amazing important lesson in my life when I was on the beach or riding Splash Mountain at Disneyland? Or, you know, like, right? It's like, man, when I was in the gutter, when I was in the fire, when that person betrayed me, when I was cheated on, when my spouse left me, when I was bankrupt, when I was sick and in a hospital bed, when I was at the bottom, at the rock bottom, God showed me this. God reminded me of who He is and what He's like, and I held on to that thing, and I didn't know what was going to happen, but all I knew was God's good. That's when they get reaffirmed. That's when beautiful things are created. You know, I heard John Piper say, you know, if you want to rake, you get leaves. If you dig, you get gold, silver, and precious stones. It's like, one, how do we dig and get down there? And what do we build with? I want to build with gold, silver, precious stones, things that won't burn. Because thing is, the storm's going to come. Maybe you're in the storm right now. Maybe somebody cheated you. Maybe you were betrayed. Maybe, you know, the list goes on. Maybe you're battling sickness. Maybe there's been a tragedy in your family. Maybe you've fallen into sin. But there's a truth that's bigger than that mess. It's even bigger than your sin that you can stand on. You see, there's two ways here that Jesus lays out that we can do life. One ends in disaster. The other ends in eternal, everlasting reward. They both go through the storm. But they both have two very different endings. Maybe you feel like you're in a place in your life where the house just collapsed. Everything gave out underneath you. And my encouragement to you is that you turn to Jesus. You fall on His mercy, you receive His grace, you believe what you know to be true about Him, and He will rebuild the house with you. I would give a warning that there is a time, there is an end in which there's no rebuilding. Like, life comes to its end, and your life will either end in demise and ultimately be wasted, or your life will end in an eternal reward of being with God forever, enjoying the ultimate source of joy, gazing upon the greatest beauty that's ever existed, standing in awe of the most magnificent being that ever has and ever will be. And not just at a distance, but intimately. But right now, no one's dropping dead in this room. So if you're here living and breathing, whatever needs rebuilding in your life can be rebuilt. You can dig deep. And my encouragement is, whether it's hard or whether it's easy right now, dig deeper. Get some extra, you know, pins into that rock holding your foundation, whatever you need to do. If you're in the middle of crisis, I know I said it's not a great time to dig, but if you are, we can run in the basement, get the sump pump going, get the, you know, these pegs out and dig deeper and lay something in there. We can. And I'll do it with you. So let's pray. Jesus, I ask that you would open our eyes to what your word says. And God, that we wouldn't treat it lightly, but we would recognize the treasure of infinite worth that we have on in this ink on pages. And that we would study, we would dig, we would meditate, we would pray. You would help us, that you would reveal truth to us, that where there's darkness and where there's been lies, that you would shed light, and that you would speak truth, and that you would bust down walls and blinders of deception with truth. We thank you for your word that says the truth shall make us free. God, I pray for freedom and strength in this house, in the lives here, in those we're connected to. We ask for your word to be heard fresh and clear. You know, my practical tip that I want to just close on: when in doubt, worship. Just worship God. On whatever you know to be true about him, just speak it out. Sing it, write it, share it with somebody, whatever you got to do, but just worship. As my mom said, right? It's a weapon. So, I'm going to wrap up, let you guys go. We believe, oh, communion. Yay, Jesus. We believe that God heals sick bodies. We believe that God imparts joy where there's depression. We believe that God moves in amazing ways. So as we remember that Jesus had his body broken and his blood shed for us today, there can be healing for you in remembering that, in believing that. There can be joy, there can be peace, there can be whatever you need met in that. All right, so I'll leave it at that. If you need prayer, ask the people who you're taking communion with to pray for you.